And I have here with me Jessica. Welcome to the show. Jessica, can you tell us briefly who are you?
Hey. my name's Jessica Nimala. I am a pediatric audiologist in Vernon, British Columbia. I have been in my dream job for the last 3 years now. I love it. I love working with kids with hearing loss. I have hearing loss, a moderately severe sensory neural hearing loss, and I wear hearing aids in both ears. And I have been since I was about 20 years old. And I got involved with the Canadian Hard of Hearing Association, BC chapter, kind of just around this time where I wanted to explore my identity as a person with hearing loss a little bit more and maybe find my peers who also have hearing loss. And this kind of just got me deeply involved with the association. And yeah, so now I am a BC Buddies Youth Peer Support Event Coordinator for CHA-BC. And I am the CHA-BC Secretary. And now I am the creator of the science exhibit that we have put on to promote hearing health awareness, which is called The Way We Hear It, a community engagement exhibition.
Yeah, and I just came back from the exhibit, and it was so fun. Like, it was at a, science center in the Okanagan up here in Vernon, 6 hours away from UBC. I'm so glad I came up because it was so fun. So here on the All Access Pass today, can you tell us about this exhibit? Because you built it from the ground up. Like, can you walk us through what would we see if we were to step into your exhibit?
Yeah, so the exhibit is set up like just a variety of standalone interactive education stations. And each station was made possible by a collaboration of professionals in the field, people with hearing loss, and other organizations and partners. And the vision of the exhibit kind of takes on an intersectoral action approach by showing the public all the different community partners that are involved in hearing health. So, for example, Interior Health provided a hearing screening station for the exhibit that was on for like the first week of May. Science World produced a hearing loss simulator that is there, so participants can hear what different degrees of hearing loss sound like. WorkSafe BC and 3M have provided information on how we can protect our hearing. There is this huge art installation of the auditory pathway, so people can actually just like walk through the auditory pathway. There's like a tent that has like big earwax panels, like you're walking through the ear canal. There's like this dome shaped door for the eardrum, and there's like these big bone structures for the middle ear, and this kind of light tunnel for the inner ear cochlea area. So there's little stations like that. I really like this station that talks about accessibility, and it's got pictures of individuals in BC with hearing loss that kind of just have a little quote about what does accessibility mean to me as a person with hearing loss. And there's probably many more stations that I'm kind of forgetting to talk about right now.
No, that's a lot of exhibits. I love the walkthrough exhibit. I felt like I've always wanted to be in the Maddox school bus, and when I walked through the exhibit, was like all the earwax and the different colors and all like sticking out of the wall, and I was like, oh wow, that's so cool. And the bones were actually like floating, right? And then you go into the cochlea and all the lights were lighting up, like the little hairs and the nerves and stuff. Yes. And I was like, that is so neat, because my hearing loss is also in the cochlear area. So it was really neat to be inside the ear and how it was so close to the brain. And I don't know why. It was just really a sort of fun and interactive exhibit. So thank you for putting that all together. And for those of you who don't know, the exhibit is still running until the end of May. And I also had a question.
Oh, yeah. And I just want to say, too, of course, there's a couple of stations that touch on hearing devices so that kids can actually, like, touch and feel hearing aids and cochlear implants. I just feel like that was an important piece of the exhibit. You know, when we're younger, when we're, like, 2 or 3 years old, we touch glasses right away, right? Mm. Like, we're putting on a kind of fake glasses, and this is kind of an opportunity for something similar for hearing devices. So
That's a really good exhibit to have. That's a good point, because even in my profession as a nurse, you know, not a lot of nurses have touched hearing aids. And, like, people are very like, oh, I mean, of course, it's delicate, but how do you handle them, and how do you put them on? And you actually have a booth, two booths, that actually show you how to put on hearing aids and cochlear implants, which I think is fantastic. I don't think anyone has ever thought about that. So why this exhibit? Like, what inspired you to do it? Like, what was the story behind it before you took it all into your hands and built it up?
Oh, well, there's a number of factors. I guess the first thing is, like, you know, public hearing health awareness is so important, I think, for any condition out there that has a certain stigma attached to it. And, you know, usually stigma is caused by a lack of understanding or awareness of the condition. You know, we can say this about certain mental health conditions, sexually transmitted diseases, or, like, even COVID-19. You know, awareness is key. So, yeah, historically, people with hearing loss have faced this sense of stigma in society, and they're trying to navigate our system to see, like, you know, how we can have their needs met. So if we create frontline opportunities for public education on hearing health, the public will have an increased understanding on various topics related to hearing, such as where to go for hearing health services, how do hearing devices work, what are other ways to communicate, or how do we make certain environments accessible for those with hearing loss. So that was, like, a big, you know, motivation for the project. And then I guess the birth of the project began when I approached our local science center director, Dion Chambers. She's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of asked her, you know, could CHAWBC host an exhibit about hearing health awareness? And, you know, I've observed that other science centers in our province host a variety of special exhibits that kind of come and go. And what I like is that these exhibits are interactive for all ages. And I think that that was something that CHAWBC should strive for in terms of, like, educating the public. It shouldn't just be for adults. So, yeah, I thought this was a great opportunity for a nonprofit organization such as CHAWBC to provide a public education display in this fashion. And kind of like what I was saying before, hearing health is kind of a concept that should begin early and continue across our lifespan. And providing an exhibit that is inclusive of younger children will allow families to learn together and have an experience that's actually engaging and memorable. So the director was all ears, and she took to the project with open arms, and the collaboration began.
Nice. Amazing. Wow. So would you say that a lot of it also came from your profession and just seeing maybe the lack of awareness, or how children and families were kind of being introduced to hearing loss and hearing devices?
Yeah, I would say professionally and personally, you know, professionally I see I do see a lack of awareness about hearing health, or what does it mean to have hearing loss? What does accessibility mean? People don't really know these terms and or these skills. So I definitely saw that need for the public professionally. And then personally, you know, like I've experienced challenges with communicating with normal hearing people. And I think COVID-19 kind of brought that to the forefront for a lot of people. Even if you have like a mild degree of hearing loss, you know, trying to communicate with people behind the plexiglass barrier or with masks on, like, how do I tell people, you know, that I have a hearing loss, that I need a certain degree of communication strategies? Yeah, so I thought this would kind of help with that.
Yeah, for sure. So this kind of came out, were you thinking about this during the pandemic, actually, or were you thinking about this exhibit for a long time?
Yeah, I think the pandemic.
Wow.
Out a bit, you know, like, I, with the pandemic and, you know, restrictions in place, like, you know, the masks, social distancing, I was hearing a lot from, you know, the hearing loss community that we are having, you know, increased troubles communicating with people. Yeah, that was definitely one of the variables or factors to getting this exhibit rolling.
Go for you. Good. Like, I mean, like, go you, because, you know, the whole pandemic was extremely hard. A lot of people, you know, included back into themselves in their little, like, hold. And you just came out and wanting to connect and reach out to everybody and bring awareness and, you know, not make them as isolated, not just from the pandemic, but being a person with a disability already in a very inaccessible world. It was a very scary virus, but it was very isolating. Can I ask you what your... Oh, I already asked you what your intention with the exhibit is. You wanted to raise awareness.
I just want to say something too.
I like how
you're tying this into COVID, because I think that, you know, the exhibit actually exposes the public to CHA-BC as well. And I think that that is so important when we're going through something like a pandemic. You know, where do these people with hearing loss go, or where do they reach out to for support when they're having trouble, like maybe at their job because everyone's wearing masks, or if they're having trouble communicating with their friends, like, what can they do? And CHA-BC is definitely there for support in these kinds of situations. So I just wanted to expose the public more to CHA-BC, to let them know that we are there to help.
Yeah. Tell us about CHA-BC. It stands for Canadian Hard of Hearing Association, so short for CHA. So what do they do, and why did you choose this organization? You're also the secretary for this organization?
Yeah. Yeah, so CHA, it's kind of got, you know, these branches of, I guess, parts out there. Like, there's CHA National, that kind of is there on a national level for Canadians. And then there's, like, different provincial branches. So, for example, I am the secretary of CHA-BC, but I believe there's also, like, a CHA Newfoundland, and I think a CHA Alberta. And then within the provinces, there's also local branches as well. So, like CHA Vancouver, there's also CHA Abbotsford. So I think CHA likes to kind of get down to the local level, and those little branches are out there to kind of support people at the local level. But then we also have like CHA-BC, they provide a lot of support for provincial policy making, for example. They will be consulted with, like, you know, certain accessibility measures. You know, certain ministers might reach out and ask, you know, how can we be more inclusive for people that have hearing loss? Or, you know, we might even create, like, position statements on certain issues. But then also we are there to provide the public, we can provide one-on-one support. Like if you have any like specific questions, we have like a peer support, program where you can call us or email us with any of your questions. We provide education by webinars on a variety of topics about hearing loss and hearing health. We also have this hearing health kit where people can get these nice publications about how to be how to be a healthcare professional and care for those with hearing loss.
Thanks.
Or how do you navigate the medical system with a person with hearing loss. So they do, I mean, they do a lot more than that, but that's kind of a breakdown of a bunch of stuff.
Wow.
Ongoing
that
right now.
Support is, I was not even able to just cover it. It goes from provincial to one-to-one peer support to education to, you know, healthcare professionals. That's amazing. So to support is, to say the least.
Yes.
The least. Let's go back to the exhibit. I just wanted to ask, like, so you built this from the ground up yourself? All by yourself?
No, I had a team helping, but like I guess maybe the management of the exhibit, like this is the first time that it happened, right? So I was the sole manager of the project.
I mean, you were the idea behind it,
yeah.
Right? You contacted everybody, you sought sponsors, you followed through with every exhibit.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. Like, and you've never done this before.
No. I don't know what came over me. I really wanted to see this through. I wanted to see it happen. And I'm excited. I hope that it actually is something that continues. Like it's something that happens every May, in different areas of the province. And I guess I choose May because it's Better Language and Communication Month, also known as Speech and Hearing Month. And so it's a great time to celebrate what professionals do in the field and then people who are living with communication, challenges, or they're thriving people with hearing loss. It's a great time to celebrate.
Were there any accessibility challenges that actually came up as a person with a hearing loss? While doing this exhibit, did you actually see examples of that, or was it pretty smooth sailing? Were people pretty understanding that this is a hearing awareness exhibit and they also had to treat you with respect and patience and understanding, and Zoom calls had to be closed captioned, or...
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there were times where I had to advocate myself for myself, for sure. Yeah, there was little things like the hearing loss simulator, for example. Originally, we were setting that up with headphones, but I thought it would be more accessible for people that had hearing devices to just have it like on a speaker, for example. But overall, people were pretty understanding. It was pretty smooth sailing, I would say that way.
And you mentioned your favorite exhibit was the accessibility quotes of fellow individuals in BC. Do you have a favorite quote?
I love the one by the 3-year-old, Elliot is his name on there, and he just like talks about like, you know, I love my FM system, which is like his like remote microphone system that kind of gives him a direct signal of like his teacher's voice or his parents' voice to his hearing aids. And he kind of just has a little quote like that, and it says and he also says like, I love hanging out with my friends, this makes me happy. And I just thought that was so powerful, because like that's what it's all about. Life's all about communicating with our friends and like feeling like we belong, you know. And that's, I think, the thing that people with hearing loss truly want sometimes, is just feeling like they're included.
Mm-hmm. No, you also have a 4-year-old.
A
5-year-old. And you have bilateral moderate to severe sensory neural hearing loss. So you're much older now, but was it difficult to explain to a child what your hearing loss was like? I mean, did that experience kind of come into play with this exhibit? How did he receive your exhibit when he came to see it?
Yeah, Milo is my son. He's, you know, he's so great. Like, he's really, I mean, I think at first it was sort of strange, like when he was a baby and then kind of growing up a bit, I was thinking, you know, when's the right time to start really telling my child that, you know, mommy can't hear you as well. Like, you know, you need to like face me when you're talking, or like just talking about my hearing aids. Like, when do I show him those things? And that all developed over time. And you know, we are big hearing hearing loss advocates in this family, so it's kind of easy to have these conversations now. And he's, you know, he actually wants his own hearing aids because he wants to be just like me, which is so funny. Of course, right? So we kind of celebrate hearing loss in our family, and we do talk about it a lot. So I think that just like it makes him even comfortable or confident about talking about hearing loss. But yeah, he was definitely like involved in the process of this whole exhibit.
Really?
Like, you know, like I was making these like big middle ear bones in my spare room, and he was like slapping on the paper mache clay for me and stuff like that. And you know, we would talk about like, why is mommy doing this? You know, why is she making this stuff? And then, you know, I would say like, because I want to show the world like about hearing and about hearing loss, and like it's important for everyone to know. And he would just like kind of get it.
That's so amazing. That's so sweet. I love that he's exposed to that at such an early age, to have such a role model and like to be part of it, and you know, just to see the experience of it. Like, it seemed like it was fun as well for him, right?
It was definitely. We tried to make it fun. Maybe there were some stressful moments trying to get everything together, but he was a part of it for sure.
Aw, yeah. I wanted to also ask if it's okay. You wanted to explore your identity as a person with a hearing loss. You didn't join the kind of hard of hearing world until you're about 20 something years old. And was it correct that you didn't start wearing hearing aids until later? Like, how did you lose your hearing? Did you always live kind of like with a hearing loss and then eventually realize you really needed it, or what happened?
I was identified with hearing loss when I was about 4. And I was born in the 80s, so we didn't have the newborn hearing screening, so I don't know if I was born with it, but I probably was. And, you know, I was brought to the audiologist, I was diagnosed with a hearing loss, we tried hearing aids for a bit, I didn't like them right away, apparently, and then my parents just kind of, you know, they went with what I wanted, and they just dropped the hearing aids and said, you know, it's okay, she'll be fine, like, we'll just talk louder and stuff. So, you know, not the most ideal situation. But I just went on with life with not wearing hearing aids for a long time. And, of course, like, I missed out a lot socially, emotionally, physically, like, not being able to hear. But then, you know, my past career is in nursing, and so my first degree was in nursing. And I remember like going to my hospital placement in nursing, basically that first week, and my nursing instructor, you know, God bless her, she like pulled me aside one day. She said, Do you have a hearing loss? Like she noticed it.
Yeah.
And I was noticing it. Like, you know, I really couldn't like hear the patients when talking, you know, when they're sick, and I was starting to realize like, actually, like I have a responsibility here. Like, you know, if I'm gonna care for people, I need to like care for my hearing. So that week I just like went to the audiologist myself and like got hearing aids when I was, about 20. And then here I am.
You know, when I met personally as well, when I've been wearing hearing aids all my life, and when I found a hard of hearing community, I had been isolated all my life from that world. Not that, you know, I didn't know that my parents pushed that on me or anything. I just didn't know about them.
It's hard to find, right?
They're hard to find, exactly. And when I found them, I was in my mid-20s. I was also in nursing school, and I just kept looking for peers, just like you were saying. Because you just, you know, when you're trying to find yourself as a young person, you just, you need to kind of talk to people and get support and figure out where you stand. And sometimes it's just nice to know you're not the only one. Mm-hmm. Did your world kind of blow up, like, when that happened? Did your world just kind of, like, did something start? Because I feel like I just want to know if that happened the same as you, because it did for me. Like, I just kind of felt like a new chapter in my life just opened up.
Yeah, you know, well, so when I was 20, I started wearing hearing aids, and then, but still, like, experiencing this sense of, like, isolation, like, I'm the only one with hearing loss, like, this is, like, supposed to be an older person's problem, and here I am, like, 20 years old, like, wearing hearing aids, and, like, so I would try to hide that, and so I went many years just kind of, like, in hiding, wearing my hair down and stuff like that, but, yeah, you know, when I finally, like, got involved with CHA-BC, like, and I met other young adults with hearing loss, that, like, I vividly remember the day that I found my people, you know, mm-hmm. and there's something about that. There was definitely a shift that happened, and I think a lot of people with hearing loss, like, the ones that, you know, kind of start feeling like they belong somewhere, like, they talk about this shift that happens, and it's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. I just realized, I'm not sure a lot of people know what a bilateral moderate to severe sensory neural hearing loss is. That's a quite a lot of words and quite a lot of descriptive. Can you, I guess it's a beauty that you're a audiologist, explain to our listeners what that means?
Sure, yeah. So bilateral means both ears. Moderately severe means, like, it's hard to describe, but that's the degree of hearing loss I have. Like, hearing loss can be from anywhere from slight to profound. So, you know, when I take out my hearing aids, I rely a lot on visual cues to communicate, like looking at someone's lips. And things are just not clear, you know. Yeah, and then the sensory neural part is the hearing loss comes from damage to the hair cells in my inner ear, or where the cochlea is. So we need our hair cells to hear, and so I don't have as many as those of those as a normal hearing person. And yeah, that kind of sums it up.
Do you know how you lost your hearing?
I think it's genetic, because my brother also has hearing loss.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Has he seen your exhibit?
No, he's in Ontario.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe you can bring the exhibit to him in Ontario.
That would be cool.
There was also another personal question about being an emergency nurse. Our team wanted to know, what was it like being a hard of hearing person as an emergency nurse?
Oh, it's hard. It was hard. That's why I left. No, just kidding. No, you know, at the time it was hard for me because I wasn't open to telling people about my hearing loss. So if you are in an environment that poses a lot of listening challenges and you have a hearing loss, the first thing you need to do is tell people that you have a hearing loss, like your colleagues, you know, and so that you can develop, you know, good communication strategies to be in certain situations. You know, maybe you're in the trauma room or something, you know, what can you do to make sure that the patient's safe and that you feel, you know, confident in hearing your colleagues? What would be, like, the job for you in that situation? Like, I think those kind of strategies would be really, they are really important. Like, that's kind of what I learned in hindsight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think life becomes a lot easier. Working in a merge or working in any sort of situation where you're not listening in a quiet situation, it's always noisy, lots of bells and whistles going off all the time. You just need to tell people that, you know, you have a hearing loss and these are the things that you need.
Yeah.
or there might be situations where you can use more technology. So like using a Bluetooth stethoscope, for example, right? Like that makes listening to people's chests possible when you have a hearing loss. Or maybe you have like a remote microphone system so you can get your patient to talk in the microphone if they have a mask on, something like that.
Yeah. So you, like, you as an audiologist, you also use your hearing devices to be able to hear certain sounds that, or I guess the client is saying they can't hear, or hearing, or their speech as well. Do you have to assess speech as an audiologist?
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Emerge.
Now I'm asking also about, like, assistive devices as a professional. So sometimes you also still use devices as...
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
We're almost wrapping up. I just have two more questions. This one is a little bit of a curveball, and you're free to, like, think about it or not reply. It's about the Accessibility Act. So earlier this week, there was a meeting with the secretary of the... Accessibility Committee, and they're there to try to figure out ways to make Canada more accessible through the Accessibility Act that came out in 2021. And there are limited seats in the Accessibility Committee, which are made of people who try to represent different types of disabilities. And unfortunately, there wasn't a hard of hearing representative. But the secretary said that they would consult CHA for future issues if they needed to ask about any relevant issues. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like that would be comforting? Like, what do you think?
I think that's a step in the right direction. There is a deafblind individual on the committee, and the committee's, you know, kind of small. It's got only 11 people on there. But I do hope that, because hearing loss is so prevalent, you know, in our society, and it is quite invisible. Like, people often don't know that, you know, another person has hearing loss. So we really need to kind of make this a visible, thing, when we make policies and, you know, the government is making decisions, just about a variety of things, like building new buildings, or you know, using technology in schools, or you know, what have you. So I guess I'm glad that he said that, you know, we will be consulted, but I think we still need to kind of knock on their door too and say, you know, are you still thinking about us? And maybe in the future the Accessibility Committee will expand to include other. Because I'm sure there's other disabilities out there that are not a part of that committee yet, and they might want to be too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so what's next for Jessica?
Oh, I don't know. No, I really hope this exhibit becomes modular. I really would love to see it, you know, in Vancouver or Prince George or Victoria. You know, we're kind of looking at the goal of the exhibit for the next 5 years, and we'll see where it goes.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I hope to see it everywhere too. It was so much fun. This was so much fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Nicole. So great to talk to you.
It's great. It's too much for a cultural backwater like Vancouver. It just bursts with violence. It's got every absurdity and nihilism of the world.
CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver. Every absurdity and nihilism of the world since 1937.
It'll play off Broadway. I can see it now.